What if you could discover and commercialize a revolutionary new material, not in 10 years, but in one? This week, a wave of breakthroughs in artificial intelligence and material science is making that a reality. The race to design, test, and manufacture the materials of the future is accelerating at an unprecedented pace, and the winners are being decided right now. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology developments shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking a fundamental shift in manufacturing and R&D. It's not about a single new product, but the very process of invention itself. We're seeing a convergence of AI, autonomous labs, and advanced simulation that is completely rewriting the playbook for material science. The implications for Western companies are immense.
That's right, Susie. This isn't theoretical. We're seeing major government funding, strategic acquisitions by tech giants, and tangible breakthroughs that solve decades-old problems. The core theme is speed, compressing discovery timelines to gain a critical competitive edge.
So let's start with the big picture, Troy. We hear a lot about AI transforming industries. What does that actually mean when it comes to creating new physical materials?
It means we're moving from a process of trial and error to one of inverse design. Instead of making a material and then testing its properties, we now define the properties we need, say high thermal conductivity and extreme flexibility, and use AI to calculate the ideal molecular structure to achieve it.
So the AI works backward from the desired result to give you a recipe.
Precisely. A review published on August 4th by Google Cloud highlights this integrated approach, combining generative AI for design with autonomous robotics for synthesis and testing. And we're seeing it in practice. Researchers at Berkeley Lab announced on August 3rd an AI model that, for the first time, can accurately predict how solid-state reactions unfold over time.
Why is predicting the reaction so important?
Because it tells you how to make the new material efficiently, not just what to make. This drastically cuts time to commercialization. For U.S. and European manufacturers in aerospace, energy, or automotive, this is a massive opportunity. It allows them to develop proprietary, high-performance alloys and composites faster than ever, creating a durable competitive advantage based on innovation, not just cost.
What about for trading companies?
They need to prepare for a much faster pipeline of novel materials. Sourcing will need to become more agile, and technical evaluation capabilities will be key. The window to capitalize on a new material before the next one arrives will be much shorter.
So what's the actionable insight here?
Western executives should immediately audit their current materials R&D cycle. They need to identify the longest, most expensive stages of experimentation and see where AI-driven simulation and autonomous platforms can compress those timelines. This is a direct lever for improving ROI on innovation.
This sounds like a paradigm shift. Is there serious government backing for this trend?
There is, and it's substantial. On July 30th, the U.S. National Science Foundation announced it's deploying $108 million to six advanced materials research centers. A few days later, on August 4th, we learned the University of Wisconsin-Madison secured a separate $25 million in federal funding for a project called Matrix MIP.
$108 million is a clear signal. What exactly are these centers focused on?
The NSF funding is aimed squarely at what we've been discussing, AI-based autonomous experimentation. They're targeting specific high-value areas like new soft materials for drug delivery, hybrid quantum metamaterials, and materials that can withstand extreme conditions like radiation and high temperatures.
This feels like a strategic national investment, not just academic research.
It is. This is about building a domestic ecosystem to ensure U.S. leadership in critical technologies. For European and American manufacturers, this is both a resource and a challenge. The resource is the stream of foundational IP that will emerge from these centers. The challenge is that competitors will be vying for the same thing.
So how can companies get ahead? What should trading firms be watching?
Trading companies and distributors should be monitoring the tech transfer offices of these funded universities. That's where the commercial licenses for these new materials will originate. For manufacturers, the opportunity is to form public-private partnerships now.
Your actionable point?
Executives should identify which of these newly funded centers at places like UC San Diego or UW-Madison aligns with their long-term product roadmap. Building a relationship with the lead researchers now, before the major breakthroughs are even published, could provide a crucial first-mover advantage.
We've got the trend and the government money. Are we seeing this translate into corporate strategy? Are the big tech companies moving on this?
They are buying the capability directly. On August 3rd, Apple acquired PlasmaSolv, a Czech material science startup.
PlasmaSolv? What do they do?
They specialize in simulation software for plasma-based production processes. Their flagship product, MatSight, allows a company to design and optimize vapor deposition of metals and other materials. Think of the highly durable, precisely engineered thin films on an iPhone screen or casing.
So instead of endless physical tests to get a coating right, Apple can now simulate it perfectly beforehand.
Exactly. It shortens development cycles, cuts costs, and gives them atomic-level control over the final product's properties. This is vertical integration on a new level. For U.S. and European manufacturers, this is a clear competitive threat. Apple is internalizing a key advanced manufacturing capability, reducing their reliance on external suppliers and shielding their innovation from competitors.
What does that mean for distributors and other parts of the supply chain?
It means a major potential customer is bringing that expertise in-house. It also signals a broader trend. Companies that control the material science will control the final product. Sourcing finished components may become less important than sourcing the underlying simulation and manufacturing technology itself.
So what's the key takeaway for an executive listening now?
They need to evaluate their own critical dependencies on specialized materials and coatings. Does it make sense to acquire or partner with a firm like PlasmaSolv to bring that expertise in-house? Controlling the recipe for your materials is becoming as important as the design of your product.
Let's round this out with a specific, tangible breakthrough. What does one of these advanced material developments actually look like in practice?
A perfect example was published by MIT on August 5th. Researchers there have solved a critical barrier to scalable quantum computing by creating air-stable, ultra-thin superconductors.
I know superconductors are important for quantum, but what does air-stable mean here, and why does it matter?
High-performance superconducting materials are notoriously fragile. They oxidize and degrade almost instantly when exposed to air. This means they have to be manufactured and handled in expensive, complex vacuum environments. It's a massive bottleneck for production.
And MIT solved this?
They did. The technique is brilliant in its simplicity. They grow the superconductor, in this case niobium diselenide, directly underneath a layer of graphene. The graphene acts as an atomically thin, transparent, and protective shield. It protects the superconductor from the air and also acts as a template to ensure it grows in a perfectly uniform film.
So you can make these critical quantum components in a much more conventional manufacturing environment.
Correct. It dramatically enhances scalability. For U.S. and European companies in the race to build quantum computers or ultra-sensitive detectors, this could be a game-changing fabrication method. It lowers the barrier to entry and accelerates development.
And for the supply chain?
Trading companies and distributors should be aware this could create an entirely new class of components, graphene-encapsulated quantum materials. The value is not just in the superconductor, but in the integrated stabilized package. This is a high-value, defensible product category.
So the actionable insight is for companies in that sector?
Yes. If your business touches the quantum supply chain, from raw materials to device integration, you need to understand this graphene-based fabrication technique. It has the potential to obsolete current handling and packaging processes and create an opportunity for new, more robust components.
All right, Troy, a lot to process this week. Can you boil it down to the three most critical takeaways for our listeners?
Certainly. First, AI-driven inverse design and autonomous labs are no longer science fiction. They are actively collapsing materials R&D timelines from years down to months. And this is the new basis of competition. Speed of innovation in materials is now a primary strategic weapon.
Second,
the U.S. government is making significant, targeted investments, like the NSF's $108 million fund to build a domestic ecosystem for this accelerated discovery. This is a clear signal to U.S. and European firms to seek out partnerships with these research hubs to gain early access to foundational IP.
And the final point?
Third, major technology leaders like Apple are vertically integrating by acquiring the simulation and material science expertise itself. This signals a shift where controlling the how of manufacturing at a molecular level is becoming as critical as the product design.
So what is the one action every executive should consider this week?
Audit your company's most critical materials.
Understand your dependencies, your R&D pipeline, and the physical processes involved. Then, map those against these new AI-driven capabilities to find the single biggest opportunity for acceleration. That is where you should focus your attention and investment.
Troy, thank you for your analysis. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Join us again next week for more Troy Technical Intelligence.
Thank you, Susie.
To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and please share the show with your colleagues. For Troy Technical Intelligence, I'm Susie.